Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the opening drive on 101 ESPN. We got the sad news at the end of our Tuesday morning show that former Cardinal manager, the Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog, had passed away at the age of 92. And one of the people associated forever with Whitey Herzog is a fellow Hall of Famer, Ozzie Smith, who's kind enough to join us to reminisce about the life and times of Whitey Herzog. Oz, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you guys for having me. And, you know, it's a sad day for all of us that's associated with Cardinal baseball and the nation. This is another.
And Oz, you and Whitey were so close, literally for more than half of your life. Can you put into words, and I know this is hard, what Whitey meant to you?
Well, he single-handedly changed, you know, the trajectory of my life, you know, but the trade for Gary Templeton, you know, things certainly change for me. I'm not sure that it would have ended up the same had that trade not happened and stuff. But it was just one of those special moments. It was nice to be able to have someone who believed in you, someone who trusted you, and someone who was as confident in his abilities and his knowledge that that would give me the opportunity to do the thing that I love to do. And I think as a professional, all you want is the opportunity to do what it is you love to do. And with Whitey, he could be gruff, he could be tough, but he only had two rules, and those rules were to be on time and give 100%. He was a super talent evaluator, and I think that comes from having worked in every level of the sport. You know, he worked from the bottom to the top. And he got the luxury of being able to come to St. Louis and be the general manager and the manager. And he had full reign. And I think that we got a chance to see just how knowledgeable he was as a baseball person. And even to this day, you know, he has a memory like you would not believe. There are things that he could remember that I know other people would not. I certainly didn't have the memory that he had, but he could remember what the weather was, what the count was on certain days. And it was just a pleasure being around him and being able to watch someone operate. He was always a step ahead. He was one of those tacticians that he knew what matchups he wanted, and he was able to, for the most part, manipulate another manager into the matchups that he was looking for, and made fun baseball fun in the 80s there in St. Louis, because I think at the time that he came, baseball was on the down, and he brought it back.
Ozzie, thank you so much for joining us as we remember Whitey Herzog today. And it now looking back on it, Cardinals opening day here in St. Louis is always so special. And Whitey always brings a smile to fans' faces. And it brought a smile to my face when I was able to see that he was able to make it out there for the Cardinals opening day and what we would now know would be his last time out there. What were the emotions like having him make it that day?
Well, you know, here again, I think that when you reach the age of 92, as he did, you know, he knew that there weren't many more left, you know, so you treasure the ones that you have. And I think that he's always looked forward to opening day because it's always such a special time in St. Louis there for all of us. And it was nice to see him be able to get there. And, you know, we talk about baseball, but Whitey was a sports guy. You know, you could talk to him about soccer, football, hockey. I mean, that was his life, and that's why it made it so much fun being around him, because he wasn't a one-dimensional person. And, you know, seeing him there opening day, I got a chance to go up and got my last picture with him and stuff, and it was fun times. It was always fun times when we had a chance to sit down and talk baseball and especially talking Cardinal baseball.
Oz, I want to go back to December of 1981. Here you are, a black man from Watts who spent most of your life in Southern California, and you're told that a guy named Whitey wants to come and visit you and have you come to St. Louis. What were you thinking then?
Well, the irony of it all, you know, made it very special. And, you know, I knew that when he came and inquired about, you know, getting my services there in St. Louis, I knew I was coming to an organization that was going to give me a chance to experience what winning was all about. It was an organization that has always been rich in tradition. They had some great Hall of Fame players. And, you know, it was a real challenge for me because, you know, I felt that I had something that I could bring that could help. He told me that point blank, that if you come and play for us, there's no reason that we can't win it all. I believe that you are the missing piece to this puzzle. And when you have someone who believes in you that way and gives you the confidence to go out there and do your thing. And I came notably as a defensive player, and it's through his tutelage and his knowledge and his experience that gave me the opportunity to learn the art of hitting at the big league level. And as a player, that's really all you can ask for, is the opportunity, be given the opportunity and have someone have the confidence in you that you can get the job done. And that's what he did for me. It changed my life. It changed my family's life. And I think it changed the life and culture of baseball there in St. Louis. Mm-hmm.
What was general manager Whitey like versus manager Whitey?
Well, it was all rolled into one. You know, he had the power to be able to make the moves that were needed at that particular time. And, you know, our minor league system was pretty good, you know, so he could always rely and always knew what we had in the minor league system. He always knew that person that was going to be able to come up and give us that shot in the arm, from Andy Van Slyke to Vince Coleman to Terry Pendleton, knowing how to get those people inserted into the lineup to give us that boost down the stretch, you know, because as a team, you know, you reach that point late in the season where you need a shot in the arm, and he was able to bring people on like Todd Worrell and that could give you that shot in the arm that you needed. And I think that was part of the reason we were successful in the 80s.
As you played for Whitey for 9 years and had a lot of success, and a lot of times in sports, you will wind up emulating what a manager or coach says or does. So what's the biggest thing that Ozzie says or does on a regular basis that you took from Whitey Herzog? Is there something that he taught you or that you just got through osmosis?
Well, you know, it was just being prepared every day. You know, I think his strength was his communication skills. You know, he would always tell me when I was going to have a day off. You know, he would sit down and explain to me, this is what I'm thinking. And if this work goes this way, he called it a blow. He said, I'm going to give you a blow here, and then that way we can come back next week. You know, so he was always ahead and always thinking of ways that he could keep you fresh and keep you at your level. And he communicated that way in the off season as well. You know, he would call people in the off season and say, hey, I'm going to have you hit fourth. I'm going to have you hit third. I'm going to have you hit sixth or seventh in the lineup. And it's that communication skills that I think that allow people to relax. We always knew what our roles were. They were all very defined. And as long as you went out and you gave your 100% and you worked hard and you were prepared, you had no problem with him. And as a professional, you know, with those two rules, if you can't play by those rules, then you probably shouldn't be here.
And I know from a media standpoint, you guys would be cackling, you and Joaquin, or when Guerrero showed up. You guys had so much fun in that clubhouse. How much did he foster that, the fun that you had?
He did. You know, it was about allowing the guys to be themselves. You know, as long as we didn't go crazy, it's like stealing bases. You know, if you're going out there and you're getting thrown out every time, you know, he put the halt on. But you had the green light. As long as you were smart about it, you didn't run into outs. And a big thing with Whitey, I think, was with all the teams that he managed or coached, it was about not beating yourself. Mm-hmm. And as long as you don't beat yourself, you got a chance. And there were many years where we probably didn't have the pitching that some of the other people had. But one of his sayings was that, hey, if we keep the ball in the ballpark, we know we catch it better than everybody else. And if we, as long as we keep it in the ballpark and don't let them blow us out, we've got a chance, you know, and we knew that. And it was that type of confidence that we went into every series knowing that if we didn't beat ourselves, we had a chance to win.
He will always be known as one of the most innovative minds in baseball because, of course, of Whitey Ball. 80s Cardinals baseball really was the best version of Cardinals baseball. Can you describe Whitey Ball to us, Ozzie?
Well, we call it Whitey Ball, but, you know, it's just playing the game the way the game should be played, playing it from a fundamental standpoint, knowing going in that if I catch the ball, throw the ball, and run, as we said, and not beat ourselves, we got a better chance of winning. You know, we talk about analytics, and analytics has its place, but the bottom line is that you got to catch it, you got to throw it, you got to hit, and you got to run. And if you do any pitching at all, you give yourself a better chance of winning. And he kept it that simple. You know, if we knew that if we were probably better than they were defensively. And so knowing that if the game was ever kept close, the odds were in our favor that we would find a way to make it happen. You know, in this day and age of balls flying out of the ballpark and swinging up and all of that, when the power is shut off, you still got to be able to generate offense. And we were able to generate offense because we had a constant. We had good overall team speed that he understood. And with that overall team speed, you could always keep pressure on the defense as long as you didn't strike out. You got to put the ball in play. You get two strikes, you got to put the ball in play. And that was the way we approached it, you know, every day. My job was to not strike out. And as long as I didn't strike out and I put the ball in play, I was always able to put pressure on the defense.
Hey, Oz, I want you to tell us the story about the night that Whitey Herzog got into it with Roger Craig, the manager of the Giants.
Oh, that was one of those funny incidents. I think we had beat them the year before, and of course we weren't supposed to beat the Giants because we were a little shorthanded. And, you know, they threw advance, and we got into a scuffle with them, and Whitey came out, and I think it was a fifth or sixth inning. We were up by four or five runs, and Vince stole second, stole third, and they didn't take too kindly to that, you know. So all of the yelling and the screaming and all of that took place, and so when they finally hit Vince, you know, Whitey came out there, and Roger Craig, of course, said, you know, that's Bush League Whitey. And Whitey told him, he says, hey, if you send me a letter over to say that you guys are not going to try and score anymore, then you know what? We'll stop running. He said, but that's the way we play. We can't change our game because you're up. And there is a unwritten rule that after five innings, you know, if you're up by five or six runs, you don't score. But I think this was the fourth or fifth inning. We were up 7-1 or 7-2, and actually we almost ended up losing that ball game. Mm-hmm. But we got into a scuffle with the Giants, and that was kind of an awakening point for us. It kind of lit a fire under us because I think Mike Kruko tried to sneak attack Vince, and Vince put him on his shoulder, and he was out for the season.
Yeah.
What a great story. Yeah. There's so many great stories, too. And just talking about his colorful personality and who he was and just such an innovative mind, he really did march to the beat of his own drum, but he was able to get so many people to follow. And when you said analytics, something just really, I thought, stood out, and Randy was telling me the story. He had his own version of analytics. Right, and he would fill out his hit charts by hand with colored pencils.
That's right, with colored pencils. You know, so before a game, we were able to go into his office. He had charts on every team, and he did the charting and stuff himself. So, if someone came into town, we had the ability to go into his office and sit and look at the charts and see where the guy was hitting the ball or how we pitched the guy. And it made life so much easier. And here again, it goes back to what I was talking about and being prepared every day. He was one of those people that was prepared every day, and didn't mean we won every day, but it wasn't because we weren't prepared.
Oz, what did it mean to you when in 2010, Whitey Herzog joined you in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it was very, very special because I think he was one of those people that richly deserved to be in the Hall of Fame because of what he was able to accomplish and his brilliance, his baseball brilliance. And I don't know of anybody that I've ever met in the game that was as brilliant, as smart, and was a step ahead. He was always a step ahead. He was always prepared for every situation, and he was fun to play for.
One final thing, if we didn't know it already, And we were talking about it Friday over at the Rawlings Experience, how we've lost Gibby and Lou and Red. And you think about your 82 team with Bruce Sutter gone, Daryl Porter, Joaquin, Forshey, David Green, and now Whitey. We really have to savor and nurture our relationships while we have them here on Earth, don't we?
We certainly do. And, you know, I don't think that any of us ever took those relationships for granted. It's just an unfortunate part of life itself. And we know that it comes for everyone. And as much as you prepare for it, it's never easy. You know, this is not the easiest day in the world. You know, when you get a message like that, and every day or every year that I go to the Hall of Fame, I look around and I say to myself, I wonder who's not going to be here next year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had one of the largest contingents of Hall of Famers at the Hall of Fame at one time, and now it's dwindling very quickly.
Ozzie, one last thing for me. We know how much St. Louis loves Whitey Herzog, and everybody's mourning his loss. How much did Whitey love St. Louis and Cardinals fans?
Well, you know, all you had to do was to see that smile on his face on opening day, you know, and he loved St. Louis. He loved the fans there, and I think that they showed them up for him as well. And, you know, we're still talking about some of those great teams that he put together because he revived baseball in St. Louis there, and he's such a part of the Cardinal lore.
Ozzie, thanks so much for the time. It's a tough day, and we'll miss him forever. But man, we have some stories forever about Whitey Herzog, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So, thank you, Oz. Appreciate it.
All righty.